And welcome back. We have landed smack bang in part two of the Trust Edition of the Team Effort. I'm Ed Cavalier. Here, of course, is our producer and fact checker, Jay. Nice to have you back.
Good to be back.
Here we are helping you be a better person, and you're flying. Think about this. Close your eyes. You're flying like a person with a $10 Tiger Airways ticket. You don't know where you'll end up, but you're willing to give it a try. Here in the Team Effort are the original flavors. It's sea salt and vinegar, Lawrence Mooney.
Thank you very much. I like the flying analogy. I like it a lot.
We can dive further into that. There's also carved beef flavoured Tony Martin. Good morning to you, sir.
Yes. I'm in the exit lane, so don't disturb me.
To my left is Wildberry Lube. It's Ash Williams. Oh.
Sliding down the slide in an emergency.
Stop there.
Gliding down the slide. And our, back up it.
And our very special guest, almonds, Brazil, and cashew nuts. Oh, hello, Lee Sales.
I'm so relieved. Yes. I was hoping it wasn't going to be tuna and aspic or something.
No,
like that.
We wouldn't do that to you.
Really disappointing.
Jay, intro music. Oh, no.
Jay.
Oh, God. Jay. There we are. It's all about trust. The Team Effort's all about trust, and here we are in part two. You're going to be able to trust everyone and everything you see that deserves to be trusted straight after this. Of course, we are brought to you by Ryan Philippe and Tim Robbins in the 2001 thriller Antitrust. Let's start with a quote, shall we, Jay?
After interviewing Julia Gillard on Monday, we were hoping Tony Abbott would be available last night or tonight to balance the scales in the first week. Mr. Abbott couldn't make it tonight. He's on another television program called Hey, Hey, It's Saturday, with Darryl Summers on their Red Faces segment.
Did that happen, Lee Sales?
Do you know, once I got passed over by Julia Gillard, who went instead on Kyle and Jackie O.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's all downhill after that.
Did she have to piss her pants for a pod, for an iPod? Which was a segment they did once, which I applaud.
Piss your pants for an iPod.
Piss your pants for an iPod.
What did you have to do for a Samsung Galaxy A? Yeah.
On the 7:30
self-immolate.
Report, it's piss your pants for some Midsummer Murders box sets.
For a Midsummer Murders box set.
Yeah.
Lee. So, Lee, if you were, you've got to talk to them politicians all the time, right? I love it when you say, joining us live from our Canberra studio. I'm always like, ooh, this will be good. Of all of the ones that you've dealt with over the years, talking about trust, is there one that springs to mind when you're talking to them, you're like, they're making this up as they go along?
The hardest one to follow easily is Bob Catter.
Is that his trick, though?
Because I think it is.
Because you and I are both Queenslanders.
Yep.
And we know that
clearly.
Straight chalk in sort of vague lunacy over the years has played extremely well in Queensland.
Yep.
So Joe sort of invented the template, and I feel like Bob's just carrying that on.
Yeah.
There's been so many.
Yeah.
Pauline Hanson.
It's sort of.
It's like Bob Catter's like a little a fly, and he lands and you try to swat him, but just as you swat, the fly has landed somewhere else.
He's sort of shifty and sort of moves, not shifty, but he's evasive.
He's just sort of, it's the hardest sort of interview when somebody, you can't sort of follow where they're going because you can't preempt what to ask next.
I call that Ash Williams.
Exactly.
So he's firing off in all sorts of directions.
Ash, can you relate to that?
Doing the Ash.
Yeah, because I want to get into politics one day. Not today, soon. I said to Mum during the week, I want to enter. She said, good idea. What else you got, Ed? Come on, mate.
Which party?
Independent, I think. Just because I want everyone's votes.
Yeah, bro.
Okay,
I think that's smart.
So, okay, you're doing your first interview on the 7:30 report with Lee Sales. What's your opening question, Lee?
Sure.
For the member for Williams.
I'd probably
member for alleyways. Yes, what is it? Here we go.
Look, I'd be hoping I'd maybe have a bit of secret alleyway footage or perhaps.
How would you throw to it? Let's say you did.
You'd ask a really softball, but you'd be tricky though, because I'd probably say something like, Mr. Williams, welcome to the program. Do you believe in the sanctity of public spaces in Australia? You'd probably say
no.
Exactly. And see, then where would I have to go? That would be, because you'd be truthful. People would say, yeah, of course. And I'd go, yeah, well, you don't, because look at this video.
I'll bring the videos in. I'll go check this out.
And then obviously you bring up allegations of impropriety.
Correct.
In financial.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd be like, here's some documents I have from the Australian Tax Office. But see, you'd be a hard one to interview because you wouldn't care. You'd be like, yes, so.
Are you live as well?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Great.
I recently
had. Now, if you wouldn't mind, Ash, could you piss your pants for an iPad?
Well done. Thanks for coming on. I recently had a chat to a Labour insider about possible running for a, you know, for Parliament.
You, bro. You wouldn't like, they would, this, the file that they would smack on the desk of your improprieties.
Bones were starting to fly out of the cupboard and hit us in the head as we spoke. But he said, so you've got to say goodbye to your former life. Done. That's over. You can't have anything to do with.
Can you still hang out with Greg Fleet?
So I can still hang out with Fleety. Fleety's going to be my, you know, press advisor like Sean Spicer. Yeah. So all your professional engagements are gone. You're unemployed for 6 months whilst you campaign. They'll take care of expenses, but basically no income. And then, you know, you're a backbencher. It's not a huge amount of money. 100 plus, I don't know, 150.
About 190.
How do you get 190? Rich? The politicians, Lee, they're all rich. How do they get so rich? How do they do it?
Well, 190 is pretty good.
But
income.
Isn't there all like deals?
Not
like,
few, yeah, let's not pretend. Let's not pretend that 190 is not a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
But they're rich, these people. They've got tracts of land toned. They've got stuff everywhere.
Well, maybe that's how they can afford to go into politics in the first place.
Because, they start rich.
Yeah. So like as Moon says, like if you said to me, oh, you have to not have income for 6 months, I'd go, well, I'm out because I need income.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, okay. So you've got to be able to wear the 6 months. Ash, you'd be sweet.
Now? Yeah, now I'm sweet.
How much in the bank right now?
Back to 50K. 55,000.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Now, the other interesting things were, he said, it's a bear pit. Everyone's tearing at you. And I said, from the other side. And he said, no, from your side.
Yeah, your own side's the worst.
Everyone wants your position. I said, what about if it's a successful, you know, 93 election victory out of nowhere and we're buoyant? He said, it's worse then because everyone wants to be in a good position when you're successful. More so.
Jesus.
So he said, it's a bear pit. You don't get paid much money, but it's the best fun you'll ever have. He said, it's awesome fun.
So I think, my next question for you, Lee, is that who is the most fun off the thing? Because you've said this to me, Moon, and I believe it. There was one moment where Christopher Pyne was walking along. It was one of those days where they're having leadership spills and stuff like that. And he wandered past the cameras and they said, oh, what, you know, we've got a leadership spill today, Christopher. And as he walked past, he just looked at him, another day in paradise, and kept walking. and it was like, that was fun. Who's that guy? He's fun.
He is genuinely hilarious.
I knew it.
I did a show in Adelaide with Annabelle Crabb did a show in the Adelaide Festival, and she had a couple of politicians live on stage to interview. Right. It was Christopher Pyne and Nick Xenophon.
Right.
And I would say that the audience for the Adelaide Festival would be pretty left.
A bit Xenophon, are they? Isn't he? That's his home.
Yeah. But they'd be hostile to Christopher Pyne, is what I'm saying. Okay, wouldn't be naturally drawn to Christopher Pyne. They were eating out of his hand because he was so funny.
So why doesn't he bust any of that gear out?
I don't know. I think they're all a bit risk averse sometimes because they fear that they'll say the wrong thing, and you know, so they sort of contain their natural personalities.
Well, one time his natural personality came out.
Thank you two for being with us today. We appreciate it as always.
See you with the new leader next week.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Oui.
James Blunt.
There it is. Moving over to you. It's time to talk trust.
You wanted to visit the man in the park.
Well, if I'm in a public park, who is the person I can trust the most?
Well, let me go back so I can extrapolate the idea out. My contention for this was that men clearly masturbate a lot. Mm. And the need isn't always there, but when it arrives, it must be dealt with. And so we should be allowed to masturbate in the street.
Right.
Because it's our beautiful bodies and it's just natural.
Yep.
This is your actual view.
This is my a view for comedy, but it's also aligned with, you know, an actual.
These are his policies when he runs for minister. What are you doing?
Rex Hunt, your thoughts on that?
Scrubworms, Barty grubs, yabbies, and shrimp.
Because my contention is that you know, whether you are a sheet metal worker or a brain surgeon, the moment that's done, you've got this clarity because that's no longer the desire is no longer fogging your mind.
Yeah.
But of course, when I suggest that, of course, there's that reaction. Yeah. This is your actual view, right? Because people can't believe it because it's still considered dirty or disgusting. For example, if you see someone wanking in the park, what do you do? Call the cops, wanker, get rid of him, shoot him, taser him, arrest him, dirty wanker, filthy. When it's just a natural act, right? And my contention is he is the safest man in the park because he's disarming the gun. He's taking the bullets out, getting rid of the firing pin. In fact, his clarity should be trusted because as he ejaculates, should go over to him and say, what's the next step for humanity?
Yeah.
Which way do we go now? It's hard to take you seriously without jizz on your Dunlop volleys, but which way should we go?
Love it.
I fixed it.
Yeah, I'm a fixer. Well, now he's the build-up, Christopher Payne.
Oh, Moon, it's just such beautiful logic. Ash, your thoughts?
You know, my brother
that
used
moment
to...
moment of clarity.
He used to do gardening. I'm not going to name the gardener. But he used to do gardening with this bloke, and every day... in between whippersnippering and mowing the lawns, he used to masturbate in other people's gardens because he felt the need. And then he had the clarity, Moon, you're right, to get the job done.
The
good
clarity.
Guy.
Jim's rubbing.
So, Lee, writing down some question ideas for the 7:30 report this week?
Yeah, this has been really helpful.
For the Agriculture Minister?
Yeah.
Mr. Turnbull, when is your greatest moment of clarity?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Lee. Sometimes I go in to the PMO for a five-knuckle shuffle. And I'm only kidding. No, after a nice Sangiovese, actually.
Oh, beautiful. Tony.
Yes.
Tony, my question to you, follow-up question to that is, what is the most trusted profession? Official list done last year. What is the most trusted profession, Tone, if you had to say?
FM breakfast radio announcer.
Sure. They're not on this list, my friend.
Can we go most trusted profession in movies and most trusted profession in reality? Because well, in movies,
okay,
right,
yeah.
Most trusted profession is a spy. Not Shane Bourne.
I'm Shane Bourne. Fantastic. The Bourne identity.
No, Bourne comes through your window
yep.
and and he's got a gun. He's like, you've got to come with me. Trust me. You're about to die.
Gotcha.
Like, right, I'm going with you.
Yep, gotcha. All right, yeah, the spy. But
the spy.
In movies, Ash, who do you trust most? When you're watching a film, you think, yeah, he's that.
I always trust, I'm going to take it one step further. I trust actors. I trust DiCaprio.
Right.
Now I'm glad you should say that. Here we go. Top three most trusted American celebrities. We'll go back to their professions. Number one, Lee Sales. Who would it be? Most trusted celebrity.
Trusted American celebrity. Maybe Matt Damon?
James Earl Jones, Tony.
James Earl Jones.
No.
I told you I met James Earl Jones.
No, you didn't tell
How high is he, so?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Because of his authoritative voice.
Yeah.
The voice.
I heard that voice. I was in a movie memorabilia shop in, surprisingly,
were you?
In San Francisco in 1996, and I was rifling through the posters, you know, when they're all propped up.
There's got to be a flubber in here somewhere.
And I heard, ding, ding, the door opened. Ooh. And then I heard Darth Vader's voice say to the man behind the counter, he wasn't doing the breathing. He wasn't reaching for the Ventolin. He goes, young man, would you happen to have any Star Wars memorabilia?
Wow.
And we've got, what? And I've looked around and it was James Earl Jones.
What's going on?
And he had younger relatives who had asked him if he had any Star Wars stuff and he had nothing.
Wowzers.
So he bought a framed Empire Strikes Back poster to give to his younger relatives.
I bet he goes into memorabilia shops all the time.
Yeah, right.
And lays that trip on.
I am your father.
There he goes. Let's go with that. Tone, you've got a sad story about Star Wars posters because weren't you in possession of...
Yes. Yes, I was a movie poster collector when I was younger, and I was going to a cinema in Auckland, and I saw coming next summer... Revenge of the Jedi, which, if you remember,
original title.
Was called Return of the Jedi.
Oh, it wasn't original.
So when it came out, they had to scrabble, and I think there were only 2,500 Revenge of the Jedi posters. So I knew this was coming, so I said to the cinema guy.
How old were you?
Oh, it would have been about 17, maybe 1983. No, I must have been 19,
okay,
sad.
So you knew
that's
this
very
was
sad.
No, it's not.
And so I knew that this was going to be rare, so I said to the cinema owner, can you put it aside for me? So he kept the poster, and... Then I moved to Australia and my mum posted all of my film posters to me and I never received them. And then in like 1987,
you
I remember...
To the dead letter office?
All investigators... It was obviously some sort of nerd espionage occurred.
Yeah.
And then I think in 1987, I read in Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine that a Revenge of the Jedi poster was worth $10,000.
You talk about nerds. How much for Revenge of the Nerds?
Or Return of the Nerds?
You mean Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise? I reckon an original, you might get $500 for the original
What was the actor that played the buck-toothed Coke bottle wearing?
That was one of the Carradines, wasn't it? Robert Carradine? It was Robert Carradine and then
Robert
Anthony
Carradine,
Edwards,
yes.
who
Edwards.
Then was a doctor on ER.
Yeah.
Did you, Tony, I once went to a video shop and I saw a film called One Tough Bastard. Now, if you were going to do the sequel for that, would you do Two Tough Bastards or One Tougher Bastard?
Or One Tough Bastard 2. Bastard of Vengeance. I don't know. Who was One Tough Bastard?
It was just one of those things where I just thought it's the type of film that if you, say, for example, sent your boyfriend or your husband down, they'd bring it home and you'd go, oh, God.
Yeah, what is this rubbish? Yeah, exactly.
So I have to do everything myself?
Have you had that happen in your life, Lee? Have you had a partner bring home
a
terrible...
There are hard, it's harder and harder to find a film, Moon, to kind of to go and watch in the cinema. Is it only me? But I'm trying to go with my wife. Yeah.
I just can't go to the cinema anymore. Yeah. The flicking through the pages of the newspaper, it was Mendo's film that kind of caught my eye. I thought I'd like to go and see Mendo, but just. Are films just shit now? Is everything shit or is it just me?
Films are, well, I don't know if they're shit, but my theory is that we don't have many five-star movies. So what happens is everyone goes up a notch. So a three-star movie is now considered a four-star movie. Take, for example, Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
Excellent film.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, that would have just been a good film, a good three-star movie.
Yeah, now
I don't reckon there's been a good movie made since Garden State. Okay, Juno.
Zach Braff, anyone?
Juno, ouch. Everything needs an edit. Pretty much everything is too long.
Yes, by half. And I'll say comedy the same. Why does every comedy festival show have to be an hour? Don't need it. 40 minutes.
Wow.
In and out.
I once saw Greg Fleet and in what was meant to be a 50-minute show at the comedy festival, and Harley Breen did 15. and then brought out Fleety. I was like, that's great. Well, he's managed to...
Oh, yeah,
to
Rock's Hands.
Yes, that's right. Mm. Oh, there you go, Moon. Ash.
Yes, mate.
Over to you. I know that you love watching the Today Show, and Richard Wilkins... we're talking about trust. I'm worried, Tony and Ash, that you can't trust... The Richard Wilkins film review.
Dix Flicks.
He always seems to be reading it.
Come on.
Now, I'll give you a taste of one recently. This is Lee from one of these Passengers, which is a movie. I hate space movies. Yes. It's always just two people. Yeah. Who cares? Just go to space and
lock the door and don't let it in.
Yeah.
Shut the door. Shut the door properly.
It's pretty easy, isn't it? Yeah. You've got an airlock. Use it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We've got this door locked. Emery Shana's been banging on for 40 minutes. Haven't let her in.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Don't tear your suit on the way in.
Yeah. Another one. Watch out for snags.
Yeah.
If there's a nail, avoid it. Yeah. Thank you, Moon. Have a listen to this.
In essence, it's a great idea, but isn't really as good as they'd like it to be. It's called Passengers. Sadly, just premium economy. Three stars.
Premium economy.
I expected it to him to be bigging it up, so I would rely on a bad review from Dickie.
Because my mother-in-law, who's a beautiful, lovely person, she thinks that is the last word on films.
Oh,
so if she says, I heard it got three stars, I'll say, where did you hear that, madame? And she'll say, it's everywhere, Ed. And I'll go, is it on the Today Show? And she'll say... Yes, because she's registered, and whenever you call her in the morning, she does this, Lee. I wake up with today.
Yes, my mother-in-law does that.
Does she do that?
Yeah. Well, she sees that it's me.
Still does it?
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were kids in Brisbane, it was 4KQ is my station?
4KQ is my station. Yeah. 4KQ is my station. What have I won? Well, you've won fuck all, but thanks for the support.
Two all beef patty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun.
I once woke up and saw Richard Wilkins announce that I was starring in a film with Hugo Weaving. And I was still waking up, and Richard Wilkins announced radio funny man Tony Martin and Hugo Weaving are co-starring in the upcoming film The Interview.
And how, in The Interview, the serious one-room drama about police.
And it was the other Tony Martin.
The actor.
But like when he announced that Jeff Goldblum was dead, he'd gotten his facts wrong. But for about 5 seconds, I just went, am I in a film?
I'm
going
to learn my words.
Is someone calling? Should I be getting a call?
My agent. Check my fax machine.
I'm the last to know.
Carl, the only thing I think you can do is you can trust, mate, can you trust this statement then? As a fellow journalist, Queensland journalist, as with Carl Stefanovic, Lee Sales, can you trust this statement about Richard Wilkins? This was said by Carl Stefanovic at the launch of Richard Wilkins' book, Red Ties, Backstage and Susie from the Block, I think it's called. I know three things about Richard Wilkins. Great bloke, big hair, massive cock. That's a quote.
Has one or is one?
Not specified, Tone.
I've got to say,
not specified.
Wilco looks like a coxman. He looks like a bona fide coxman.
I have to say, I have heard the Milton Berlish style rumours about the host of Dex
but
Flex.
There's something about the strut in the man and the general confidence. And also, he's quite a happy, go-lucky guy and quite generous
And
of spirit and of cock.
Yep. I've heard it too. And bloody oath. And he's a big boy, Dickie. He's a, you know, he actually is a big boy.
He's got a big gin-soaked head.
Yeah, he's massive, a monster, though.
Yeah, he's
Like, you stand next to him. He is huge.
It's reassuring almost to stand next to him.
Yeah. Bloody hell. He's a good bloke.
Now, Ash, we do need to launch it. We are launching a campaign as part of this, which is to try and get Ash in the jungle, Lee. We need him to be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and Moon.
I want in.
You want to go as well?
Yep.
Moon Man in the Jungle.
Oh, like, you know, a vitamised rat. Oh, no, not that. I've eaten and drunk worse than they can throw at me.
Is it a good job for the comic? Because is there only one comedian?
Well, that's it. Yeah. Moon, if you're interested, I'm going to have to find a different angle.
Model.
Yeah, you've got the...
Businessman.
Oh, you're going in as the comedian.
No, you be the businessman. Oh, that's
how dare you?
They'd want you, wouldn't they?
No.
No, when I said that with a question mark, it wasn't like italics.
No, it's not they don't know about it yet, but I'm going. Remember I said even if I'm not a part of the cast?
I don't want to tread on your territory. I can demur.
No, don't demur.
You can go in as comedian. Ash can go in as businessman.
Mm. Absolutely.
But don't you remember when Akmal was the comedian in the jungle? I've never seen a man happier than when they said he was off the show.
Well, I used to do radio with him, and I've never seen a man happier than when the last break went to air. He was like a puff of dust, just an Akmal-shaped puff of dust. As we're like, okay, we better record promos. Akmal! And he was off.
Sheergold style.
Sheergold, yes.
They'd want to cast you, wouldn't they, on that show?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
Look, regardless, I told you, I'm turning up. I'm turning up anyway.
I love it.
Logie style.
No, one way, plane ticket, a rock up, South Africa. If you're really live.
Yeah. Oh, like the gate crasher.
Yeah, that's it, mate. If you're live, we'll find
out. The wild card. Oh.
My dear friend Peter Lawler has directed the last three series of that. So he's gone for recce's and then had to spend, I think, 10 weeks in that.
Yeah, I saw him at the airport on the way there once.
And, flies in fine style.
Yeah. Really?
Business and back.
Oh, and then you've got 10 weeks in the jungle.
And then you've got 10 weeks in the jungle. But he said the rap party in the jungle is something else. And I said, can you, do they? And he goes, there's things that come out of the jungle. There's funguses, dried funguses, and all sorts of bark and stuff.
Yeah.
And
Rex Hunt.
Yeah, you're talking about
Rex Hunt leaps out of the bushes.
Hallucinogenics and...
Oh, right. I think you're talking about bloody STDs. But yeah.
Trunk rooms, party grubs, yabbies and shrimp.
All that stuff. Hey,
but you're talking about STDs.
I say funguses and barks and you think, STDs.
Ash.
So I'm thinking about getting high. You're thinking about how to cure your...
Ash, tell us about your latest deal.
So next week I'm flying to Sydney and I'm filming a commercial at Foxtel Studios for... constipation brand called Coloxyl. I'm the new face of Coloxyl, and they're paying me big time. And I'm fired up.
Now, are you the before or after face of Coloxyl? Are you constipated, or are you like taking a massive dump?
No,
the face.
I don't know. I'm actually just being interviewed by a guy called Stefan, and there's a show.
Stefan,
well, how's this?
Have you taken your Coloxyl today?
This is true. Moon, this is
listen,
a true
I'm
thing.
Listen, you would be to interview. I'll just be lying underneath this glass table. Don't mind me.
Well, do you know the show's called Stools with Stefan?
Oh no!
I'm serious.
Welcome, Ash Williams. Welcome to Stools. Tell us, how is your sphincter today?
Stools with Stefan.
Weren't you connected to Dolko Lex, though?
No, Tone, this is why I think people are listening to this. This is why I bring up the I'm a Celebrity thing, Lee, because if we think we're starting to say things on this podcast and they're starting to come true in real life. Two episodes ago, we did a long bit about how I love the actor's moon in the laxative commercials because the three stages is, problem, drinking the thing, and then relief at the end.
Right, okay.
And then all of a sudden... He's on Stools with Stefan Lee. The squeaky wheel is getting the grease in more ways than one.
Now, why don't you get Stefan on the 7:30 report and do an in-depth Now, how did you arrive at the name Stools? Are you sitting on Stools?
I've noticed that Lee has not written down any of our suggestions.
No, that pad is
blank page.
That pad is completely empty, Lee. So well, Ash, that's fantastic. Yeah. Any other deals that we can speak of at the Mo?
A new one from with Fancy Feast, the cat thing. I've got to find that bloody cat again. I haven't seen him in about 2 months, but they're sending me all of these new contraptions.
Contraptions? What do you mean?
So it's a brand new collar. All new bed again, new jewelry again for his bloody paws.
Not a wellness center, did they send you? Because we got the cat wellness center.
Is it from Fancy Feast?
I don't know.
What's a cat wellness center?
It's basically a disc of plastic with a hub which you put catnip, which is basically
drugs.
Weed for the cats.
Yeah.
Does it play some Enya for them or something?
It should do because it costs like $40 and then it's got ridges and combs.
Wow.
So the cat will sniff the gear and then sort of get all kind of like he's on E.
Wow.
And start sort of cuddling up to the ridges and combs.
Weird, Tony.
And the cat's taken one look at that and just walked off in disgust. And then I've got onto YouTube to see how do people go with the Wellness Centre.
Yeah.
Onto the YouTube. And apparently what you're supposed to do is demonstrate it for your cat.
Oh, please
so
do it, Tony.
I have done that.
And you're putting that on YouTube?
See, that's what I should be doing.
Yes.
But the cat, equally unimpressed, just wandered off. And I was slightly high.
Does catnip work on humans?
Because Dave Graney has a cat and he had a large amount of catnip and he gave me this jar of catnip and I had it on a shelf at my house and Sean McAuliffe came over.
What?
And I could see he was just looking at this and I realised, and after he left I went, it just looks like a massive jar of dope. So I could see McAuliffe was just looking at that going, all right. That's how comedy gets written, is it?
You remember that the Kyle and Jackie O segment, Catnip for a CD Player, that was quite frightening. Now, we are almost out of time, sadly. But now, how many Walkleys you got, Lee Sales?
Two.
No Logies, though.
No Logies.
Rub it in.
Yes. Well, you're the squeaky wheel here. You'll get one.
You've got some, though.
Well, as part of the show, as part of having paying attention, there's, a couple on board.
It was so hilarious because I bumped into you at the Logies and you said we bumped into each other. He was loitering outside the toilets and outside the ladies' toilets.
Swabbing.
And you said, I'm just sitting so far down the back, there's no way we're winning. And then literally 5 minutes later, I've gone, have you been paying attention? And then you've had to.
We were so far up the back, Tone, that the only people behind us were NRL footballers. And what they do with them now, because of various incidents, is they put them in the dark. They were sitting underneath a camera. So every time a large footballer got up, it's sort of, oh, God. But they made a mistake, Moon, because they're next to a door where the beers would come out
of.
And they would form a line of massive humans as a waiter would come out with a tray of beers, just take the tray off their hand and then plonk them down and they'd have to go back and do it again.
Can I ask you a question in regards to have you been paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Sam Pang? Because I'm a massive fan.
He's banned from this podcast.
Really?
He's not to be mentioned for a number of reasons.
He's on another podcast with you, though, isn't he?
Oh, he's on the soccer one on the AB on our ABC. I got in trouble on that one, which I'll tell you off air I did, Lee. But I got a bit of a.
Did you call Charles Sarchi?
No.
Oh, no, that was me on Dirty Laundry Live.
Is that in breach of the charter? If you do, what is the line? Where is the line?
Well, it was on a script. It has to get sent to the EP in Melbourne and then up the line. So
it wasn't your fault.
Five or six people signed off on it.
I remember the time I went on Dirty Laundry Live, which was genuinely live to air. Yeah.
Genuinely.
It was the day Rolf Harris had been arrested and I had all of this gear. And I remember I was ready to go, so it's live to air, and suddenly about three people appeared and a card was held up. Drop the Rolf gear.
Oh no.
Because it was going to be too.
And so what did you do, Tony? You just went to your Ricardo Montalban stuff.
I went to some very very poor Kyle Sandilands gear.
That's okay. Yeah.
We did break some ground on that show.
It was a great show.
We had a discussion about
I thought
about,
that was a really great show.
Thanks.
And live to air.
We discussed Cosby.
Yep.
And nobody had really had a in-depth chat about.
It's a good show. It was a good show, man.
Yeah, and how many comedy shows go live to air now? Has there been Like, how many
Is there any?
I don't think there are.
Sunrise?
Yeah, either today.
Yeah, today and Sunrise. Dick's
bloody live, mate. Good call.
Channel 31, obviously.
Channel 31,
Cat Cam was all live.
I love Cat Cam. Dude, make sure you YouTube that. I can't believe I've got to say this, but we do almost have to jump out of the team effort. Now, Leo, talk about Walkleys and Logies because Disco Machine, the wonderful Disco Machine, Damien Cowell, has said just no luck. Damien Cowell wrote a pro Waleed song and he can't get it on the project.
The project will not reply to us.
I get it. But he wrote one song on his album about Waleed and it's inspired me. I'm thinking, if we've got one song about the human rights champion, why can't we have a whole album? Mm. And we're slowly doing our bit here on the team effort to try and get an album together, Lee. And I'm interested to hear what you think of our latest effort.
Yo, I'll tell you what Waleed wants, what he really, really wants. I'll tell you what Waleed wants, what he really, really wants. I'll tell you what Waleed wants, what he really, really wants. Tell him what Waleed wants, what he really, really wants. You want to want a, really, really, really wants another gold Loki.
Does he?
That was excellent.
Thoughts? Moon?
I think that the project is a juggernaut. It's got two gold Logies. Why wouldn't it have another? I'm in Pete's corner, though. I want Pete Hellier to get a Logie.
Yeah, I love Pete.
Pull down the gong.
We are pro Pete Hellier here. Ash,
we are pro.
Yes.
Before we go, anything you'd like to plug?
Not really. I'll plug the Instagram too, at Ash Williams 1. And
how many followers?
Just up and down. But we've got a 58.
Well, people jump off.
Nine. Got a lot of dudes from Russia. They get off. But then they come back. But... good guys. Shout out to them. But, mate, that's it. Do I have anything to plug?
You got the constipation and you've got...
Oh, that's right. Coloxal. And you've Stools with Stefan. I'm doing the fancy feast. I'm doing a new thing with Coors beer.
I didn't know that one. What's that one?
I don't know. They're sending me beer. I've got to wait for a fucking delivery guy all day, apparently. It's a nightmare. Anyway, good stuff.
Would you like to take this opportunity?
Oh, no, Ed.
I'm asking a genuine question. You know, if we are trying to help people lead a better life.
Yes.
Now, you either care about the listeners or you do not.
Of course.
Now, right. So there are people out there right now who are unlucky in love, Jay.
Yes.
That's the way it is. And you, your story with your ex-girlfriend is an unfolding drama. It's better than anything they got on Bold and the Beautiful or Home and Away.
Mm.
So I think it would be remiss of us, Tone, for you to not at least use this space and this opportunity to get a message to your ex-girlfriend that other people can cling to and perhaps use in their own life.
Ed, mate, I tell you what, mate.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, you're a dog, mate. You're a dog.
That's the nastiest thing you've ever said to me.
No, because honestly, we are in fantasy land. You know that, babe. It's a beautiful place, and we've got the wedding contract. All you've got to do is sign it. You don't have to pay for it.
I understand there was a steak night.
Is there a prenuptial?
I had a steak night. You wanted medium rare. I cooked you medium rare.
I understand.
That's the only type of steak that I cook. I was really lucky.
I understand there's tacos.
The tacos are back in the cupboard. Thank you for bringing the old El Paso back.
Have you bought her a ring yet?
I'm going to. I'm thinking about that this weekend.
Get one of those broken rings in support of marriage equality.
Nah.
Moon plugs.
Yes, I've got tour dates coming up all around the country. July 22nd, I'm at QPAC in Queensland. August 26th.
You're coming on my radio show to plug that, by the way.
Yeah, good-o.
Yep.
Tell Scotty to get back to me. And
Queensland loves you.
Go to alist.com.au and check out the dates.
T. Martin.
Damien Cowell's Disco Machine.
Yep.
Get Your Dag on the album. Ed and myself are both on it. Yes. By the time this is uploaded, we will have probably have done our show at the Northcote Social Club, which is Friday, whatever the next Friday is.
Next Friday. Let's call it next Friday.
And we are performing our salute to S Club 7.
Oh.
That's right. I've never seen that face on you before.
Wow.
Cavalier. But enough of that. I just want to say that if there is any blowback, and that's obviously another word not to be used on the 7:30 report, for Lee Sales for appearing on this podcast, feel free to blame us.
Yeah, it's all
right. We led you down the path.
I've said nothing.
Like Rex Hunt, we led you down the alley. And what happened there is I think it's been mostly above board, Lee. Lee, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, where's my plugs?
Yeah, exactly. They're coming now. Thank you so much for joining us here in the team effort. Plugs.
Okay. What's 7:30?
Definitely.
It's not hard to find.
What time's
it's
on?
It's on at 7:30.
Yeah. Who you got? Who you got?
Forget about MasterChef and all those pretenders.
Yeah. Forget those habibs.
Waste of time. Yeah. Waste of time. 7:30 is where it's at. You never know what's going to happen.
That's true.
You never know.
It
when
is live.
You get the full Mendo.
Yeah. Yes. It is very live. Excellent.
Chat 10 looks 3. My podcast with Annabelle Crabb.
Yes.
Switch that on. We
are you going to invite Ash onto that?
Probably not.
Why not?
Can I stand in the background with guests? A sign like the people on Sunrise?
Yeah. Maybe you can write the cover line for our show like I did yours.
That's a nice idea.
That's nice.
Okay.
That's a reciprocal.
That's nice.
And what was the other thing I was going to say?
Plus, you've probably written
a book.
We
support the entire brass section on Chat 10. Unlike this podcast.
Just the rusty for us. Tone, you've also got a book coming out. I forgot to mention it. Called?
It's called Deadly Kerfuffle, and it's coming out in November.
It does sound like Steven Seagal's first comedy, which I'm really excited about.
I'm hoping
that's a novel tone.
It is. Well, it's intended to be. That sounds a bit fancy, I have to say, novel.
How many books on total?
Well, I've done two actual books and an e-book. Is an e-book a book?
Not really.
No.
Unless you can put it in a pile.
Well, it is if you print it out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
People, thank you, Ash.
You can't sign really a Kindle.
No, you cannot.
As I've discovered.
Jay, we do need to get out of here. Thank you so much to you. What have we learned?
Got a few things. Let's hope that Ash and Lawrence, if they do get into politics, let's hope that it's a little bit better than Mal Meninga's run.
Oh, don't.
In
no.
I was just a person out there making sure that I was I'm buggered. I'm sorry. I have to resign.
He did three minutes of a political campaign.
So the full sentence is, I'm just a person out there making sure that I'm buggered.
And Mal, of course, one of the all-time greats of the Queensland State of Origin team. Make sure you see his statue out the front of Suncorp Stadium. Jay, what else have we learned?
Lee mentioned the film One Tough Bastard, which I can tell you is a 1995 film starring former NFL footballer Brian Bosworth.
No.
The
Boz.
There's a good 30 for 30 documentary about
it's
the Boz.
It's a tragic story.
It is. Yep. Okay.
Oh.
Now, you also mentioned Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes.
And you wondered how much, what was your estimate of a poster for Revenge of the Nerds?
Oh, maybe $500.
Allposters.com has them for $12.99.
Tone, you overpaid, buddy. What about Revenge?
That's not first release.
Exactly.
That's video shop standee.
It might be. But you also said you think that one of the Carradines was in that. And Robert Carradine played Louis Skolnick.
Yes.
Right? And Robert Carradine is the youngest Carradine.
Yeah.
Yes. He is the brother of Christopher and Keith, son of John, and the half-brother of David.
Yeah. David, who had a mysterious death.
Valet David. Revenge of the Nerds also starred James Cromwell, who played Robert Carradine's son.
Yeah,
or dad, actually. There
you go, from Babe. Okay.
Exactly. Now, Stefan.
Yes.
And what was the...
Stools with Stefan. How's your sphincter?
Do you know Stefan's also a pitch man for another product?
Really?
Domino's head chef Stefan has been studying the unique style and flavours of Melbourne pizza culture. And here's his latest creation, the Aussie. With real egg and shredded leg ham. Domino's Melbourne range, just $7.95 on Offers app.
Wow. That's
Stefan's making pizzas and helping you digest them.
He's servicing both ends.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Hey, Tony, I forgot to do this. I've been meaning for this for a while. I think you've left a lot of money on the table. That is, of course, the voice of the wonderful Samuel Johnson, who does a lot of...
Gold Logie winner.
Yes, and he does some of Triple M's work, Lee. He's the voice of many different things.
Oh. The famous voice of Burgers Bad Hungry Jacks.
I think you can do a lot of different types of voices, and over the years in sketches and things, you do impersonations of voiceovers and stuff like that. Man, you could have been raking... You still could be raking it in, and people would never even know it's you.
Right, because...
Because you're great at voice. You've got a naturally nice voice, but you're also very good at impersonating all types of voiceover people. So you could be a thousand voices Martin.
Well, my favourite is Steve Britton, who was the voice of Triple M for years.
Yeah.
And the man who, of course, famously said, "Have you ever rented or bought a video that wasn't quite right?"
See? Yeah. You could still be doing that.
I'd love to get his job.
There was still such
I remember working in the next studio for him, and he was one of those voiceover guys that has a jar of honey, which he spoons down his throat before every voiceover.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ash.
I like that.
What do you think Stefan Stuhls does before his?
A spoonful of...
All right. Thank you to Trip... Jay?
That's it.
Thank you to Triple M for housing us. Thank you again, Lee Sales, for coming on board. Ash, Tone, Moon, and Jay, wonderful work from you as always.
Are you going to, what's going on?
No, there's a tiff here. My wife, Tiff, cute pregnant wife, Tiff's here. She's been listening to the podcast out there. Tiff, what's stood out for you from what you've heard today?
I've been playing with a puppy dog. I wasn't really listening.
We were playing with Mr. Rupert
Lawrence
Bear.
Brought his beautiful dog, Rupert, and we've been playing, and he shakes your hand if you give him a chicken twisty.
Yeah.
I thought Tiff coming in was like the international wife symbol of, right, I've had a gutful, we need to leave.
Yeah. I'm pregnant, I'm hungry.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
See you all. Thank you so much for being part of the team effort. We will be back very, very soon.
If you stop me up, I'll never stop. If you stop me up, yeah! If you stop me up, I'll never stop.
Righto, that's enough. Get him off.
I fixed it.